We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
You're dimming the lights.
No, baby, come back. Bob Knight has come back after 20 years. I know exactly where Chris is going with this. This is brilliance on his part.
I would not associate this song, though, with Robert Montgomery Knight.
It's a little mellow for him.
How do you know what he's like?
Baby got back.
Jeez.
Could have done that one, too.
You Indiana cried. University, Bloomington, Indiana, is whole again.
People are wondering how much emotion. You were very emotional. You cried at home.
I didn't cry. I told you, because I don't cry. You two cry at movies. You guys, when Iron Man died, you two bawled like babies,
Everybody did.
When you saw it the third time.
Everybody did.
Spoiler alert. I didn't.
You cried. Just because your tear didn't reach your cheek doesn't mean you didn't cry. If you didn't wipe it, if you had your hands tied behind your back, you
There was no breaching of the eyelid. There was no
yes,
water.
There was.
There was no water that ran down my
You've
cheek.
You've already said it. Just didn't reach your cheek.
Right. That's exactly what I said. It didn't breach my eyelid and roll down
do
my
you
face.
Think that letting out a little of emotion makes you less of a man.
I didn't, but it was an emotional moment. It
and
was.
Actually, I just watched Infinity War. Endgame.
Yeah.
I just watched Endgame yesterday, and I did not cry at the end.
You've hardened up. Good job.
I knew it was coming, so I prepared myself all movie long.
Yep.
After hold it times. Together, Chris.
Yep.
Your kids are watching.
Exactly. But look, I mean, can you blame me? There was a flashback to my childhood. There was like this 20-year gap where Bob Knight was not part of the university. That was the team I rooted for as a kid. It was where I went to college. All those players that came back. I tell you the moment.
Well, you should cry. I mean, no,
the moment it
you
got
should
me,
cry. You're the one
he gets
denying
gets to center court.
Yeah.
Isaiah and Buckner give him a hug, and then Bob Knight breaks down. And it was hard. It was hard to hold it back at that point.
But here's the thing. He didn't want to be back there.
Right.
For a long time.
Right. So because they fired him, he was mad.
Is there part for 20 years?
Bob Knight could be a stubborn man.
Really? No. So there's not like a part of you that wants to like, and this is too far and I know it, but like give him a metaphorical middle finger because it's like, we should have had this moment a decade ago.
They tried. He wouldn't do it.
And that's where I'm saying IU fans
right.
have a backbone, huh? You're bigger than Bob Knight.
No. That's just stupid. That's the stupidest thing you've ever said. The ironic part was that the student body there hadn't even been born. Bob Knight was fired in 2000. All those kids were born in 2000 or
some
later.
Of them. Some of them.
Most of them.
No,
yeah.
The upperclassmen.
Upperclassmen, 1998, 1999.
Right.
So there was that awkwardness where it was really loud, but then it died down to nothing, where people, grown men were standing crying. And then there was the student body. Half of them had never seen Bob Knight with their own eyes before, only on TV. It was quite a
yeah, only on YouTube, actually.
Yeah.
Reliving
well, no,
the glory
some
days.
Because he was not 5 years ago, he was an analyst at ESPN doing games.
Oh, that's right, when they had the ESPN sweater that they made up
Purdue,
for him.
24
he wasn't
guy.
Great at that.
So Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers, will join us in about 10 minutes or so. So
Excellent.
Let's get this SportsCenter rundown underway so we're on time. Keep it pithy. Here's Chris.
Really sell it. All right, tonight in the NBA, where am I at? Both Florida teams are in action. The Magic host the Hawks at 7. The Heat are in San Fran, taking on the Warriors at 10:30. Andre Iguodala against his former team. That's fun. The 8th-ranked Florida State Seminoles, they take on the 7th-ranked Duke Blue Devils tonight from Cameron Indoor. Coverage starts at 6:30 on 99.3 ESPN. Tip-off at 7 on ESPN. And it is official! Philip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers have mutually agreed to part ways.
239 says, why are you picking on The Rock? Meaning me, not Pete. He's a Lions fan, and all they have left for emotion is bitterness and anger. Fact. Sorry.
I got an interesting little baseball nugget. I think this is...
Hot stove!
Hot stove.
Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow.
Joel Sherman, New York
Wednesday.
Post.
I'm off by a day.
No.
I thought it was the 12th.
That's
Red Sox open up tomorrow.
You're right.
But then the rest, yeah, they'll start trickling in tomorrow for a lot of teams. Joel Sherman, New York Post. Think about this. He starts, imagine a team picking its playoff opponent. This is Major League Baseball.
I want the Astros on the road.
Probably coming soon to Major Leagues. In the report, MLB is seriously weighing a move from 5 to 7 playoff teams in each league beginning in 2022. In this concept, the team with the best record in each league would receive a bye to avoid the wild card round and go directly to the division series. The two other division winners and the wild card with the next best record would each host all three games in a best of three wild card round. So the bottom three wild cards would have no first round home games. The division winner with the second best record in a league would then get the first pick of its opponent from those lower three wild cards.
That's ridiculous.
Then the other, I think it's awesome.
Then the other division winner would pick, leaving the last two wild cards to play each other. So to use the American League last season, for example,
yes,
the Astros with the best record would have received the bye. The Yankees with the second best record would have had the choice to pick from among the Rays, Indians, and Red Sox. Boston had the worst record of that group. Would the Yanks pick them or avoid the baggage of a series with their rival?
Probably.
Would create a ton of strategy and interest, and this is what the MLB wants to sell. The Twins would then pick next as the other division winner, and then the A's with the best wild card record would play the team not chosen by the Yankees or Twins.
It's ridiculous.
I love it.
I think it's interesting. The plan is to have all play out in a show on the Sunday night the regular season ends and have representatives picking teams on live TV.
Don't we always say, like, particularly in baseball, like it's matchups, right? What happens when a great pitching staff can go out and neutralize a great hitting lineup? If you're a team like the Yankees, you're not going to want to go out and face a team like the Red Sox, who are able to throw Sale and Price two times in a three-game series.
However, you may have, but like for many, many years, they owned David Price and we're all over him.
Okay,
it's a good point. But also, don't forget, it could also bring up the theory, which I always say, be careful what you wish for.
Well,
you know,
and that's
that can backfire on
this.
That
is too NASCAR-like. You know, if you win X amount of races, you get X amount of
points.
Think
NCAA selection show, but just with the teams making the selection.
This is brutal. This is where I think that you've got some real intrigue going into the series because, at least in two of the three series, the underdog, air quote, underdog, can use it as bulletin board material. Mm. Hey, this team thinks that they can beat us.
They disrespected
us. They picked you. They picked you out of a team of three.
Let me ask you this. Does this formula in any way get rid of the stupid one-game play?
Yes.
So we're playing a three-game series?
Yes.
But it'd be all three games at the higher seeds park.
Yep.
That part I might slightly be in favor of because I hate the one game. I hate the one game. Baseball is about series, and these one-game wild cards drive me nuts. I hate them.
Now, but then you get into the point, is this a big disadvantage for the top seed who gets the bye? Well, but is that an advantage or is that a disadvantage in baseball
every day,
where you play every day? And we've seen teams carry, you know, a lot of momentum from the end of the regular season into the postseason. Then they're faced with a 7-day layoff
happened last year.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be a good thing, but sometimes it can be a bad thing.
Look, baseball's looking to do different things because they're sucking out loud right now.
Yes.
But they're trying too hard. They're working on the wrong things.
Doesn't matter what we do this year. It's going to be a Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
And that's what it's going to end up being, a Dodger-Yankee World Series anyway.
Certainly seems that way.
Feels almost like the NBA for the last few years.
Yeah.
Not this year, but
or
the last few years.
Or college football until this year when Alabama didn't make it.
Yeah, but Clemson was right there. I mean,
still kind of there. They're clinging on. They're like the Yankees.
It wasn't that big of a change.
No.
I think it's interesting.
I don't like change.
It could happen as soon as 2022. Well,
back in my day, we didn't have fangled wild cards and all these extra teams. You either won the National League pennant or you either won the American League pennant, and you played for the World Series, and that's how it was. And back in my day, it was done by October 1st. None of this fangled baseball playing all the way into November, getting ready to play a game on Christmas for game 7 for crying out loud. This is ridiculous.
It's done in the middle of October. It's never over on October 1st.
Fall Classic.
Now with 162 game schedule. But yes.
We started in March this year, though.
Yeah, and we started in March the last few years and end of March if they play overseas.
March 28th.
Japan or anything like that?
March 28th, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's normal if we have a team playing overseas and then it gives them a couple days to come back. Some teams are playing preseason spring training games and other teams are playing games, it means something. And eight time zones away.
Some teams, it takes a week to 2 weeks to recover from these overseas trips.
Yeah.
This would be, I don't know if these are.
Are we going back to London training. Again? Or is that just
no,
last
Thursday,
year?
Thursday, March 26th. That's opening day.
That's my birthday.
Oh, is it? Opening day?
Yeah.
Who do the Sox
the
play?
The Sox! Who are the Sox playing by the harbor?
They're not in the harbor. They're actually not even in America. They take on the Blue Jays at 3:37.
Where? Oh, in Toronto.
Not in America.
Well, is that a regular season game for you? I mean,
yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't play in Toronto in spring training.
I think their first seven are on the road.
Let's
just
see
smart.
Here.
Okay, but
why is that smart?
Are lots of teams playing on the 26th?
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
It's too freaking cold. That would be a blizzard.
Hold on. Are there multiple games on the 26th, or is it like just the Red Sox Jays as the opener?
No, that's like opening day is the 26th.
For everybody?
Okay, I didn't count 30.
Okay, just more than one game is what I'm saying.
Yes, it looks like all 30 teams.
Because in the past, you would have your one game in Japan on March 26th, but everybody else wouldn't start till March 31st or April 1st or April 2nd or something like that. All right. So are they trying to squeeze in more days off in between? Is that how they roll?
Don't know.
Yeah. I get 16.
All right. Yeah. Well, what the heck? Okay, opening day.
There are 30 major league teams, right?
The first game of the year is actually the Blue Jays hosting the Red Sox on Thursday, March 26th. That's actually the first game of the year. Also.
Well, the first game of the year, there's 2 1:00 games that day.
Orioles and Yankees.
All right.
That day. Also, Pirates and Rays.
I'll bite. Who do my Tigers open against? Because they'll be the magic number to elimination will be.
Tigers open
Indians,
up with
also,
the Tribe.
Indians.
Ooh, 1 o'clock.
Where's that at?
Cleveland. Progressive Field.
Little breezy coming off Lake Erie there.
Yeah, Cleveland in March.
Cleveland in March sounds delightful.
Beautiful.
That's going to be snowed
the
out.
Miami Marlins.
No chance.
The Miami Marlins open at home against the Phillies.
Okay, I can already tell you what's going to happen.
Why would Major League Baseball schedule the Tigers in Cleveland in March?
Ready for this
That's
one?
That's ridiculous.
How about this one, Craig?
They should play Southern teams. Yes.
Kansas City at the White Sox also on Thursday.
That's also
March.
Not happening.
Snowed out.
No shot
snowed
that
out.
Thing gets played.
No shot.
Let's do the over-under.
Oh, of course. Cardinals at Reds.
Yeah, that
That's
won't
every
happen.
Year.
Cardinals at Reds?
Isn't that how the Reds open up the season
well, the
every
Reds
year at home?
Used to be the they lone be the, opener, and then everybody else would open the next day.
Yep. American League, the Astros will host the Angels on opening day, March 26th.
Baseball's here.
Catch the Fever. Or that's the wrong sport.
No, Catch the Fever. That was baseball.
Was that baseball?
Yeah,
I
a few years ago.
I remember Chicks Dig the Long Ball.
Catch the Fever was between Chicks Dig the Long Ball and Let the Boys Play, or Let the Kids Play.
All right.
Nationals hosting the Mets on March 20th. That's a chance to be disastrous for weather.
None of these games are getting played.
Oh, here's a great one. Did you say this one? Milwaukee at the Cubs. No shot. So both Chicago teams home that day. How's traffic going to be in downtown Chicago that day, opening day, with a blizzard?
Should be stellar. We got a text with the 239. Is Don Fisher really coming? Yes. Don, we scheduled him for 5:15,
right,
which is now. Chris is dialing him up right now. Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers, will be with us in just a moment. Looking forward to this very much.
That Thursday, March 26th, will also be NCAA regional finals or Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That'll be a Sweet 16 that day, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
That Thursday.
That
what a day.
Yeah. That's going to be a big sports day.
Yep.
So we'll be all over it. All right. So with that as our backdrop, again, the big story over the weekend. Of course, as far as I'm concerned, Bob Knight, after 20 years, returning back to Assembly Hall after, basically being bitter for 20 years from being fired back in the day. It was a great moment
The
crowd watching him walk back into Assembly Hall. Don Fisher, the radio voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, who's been doing it over 4 decades, in fact, getting close to 5 decades, if I'm not mistaken, joins us right now. Don, how you been?
Hi, Don.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
How many radio interviews did you do today?
Well, 4 or 5.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on and joining us. Tell us about the timeline as to when you found out that this was going to happen, because I think Saturday morning the word really wasn't out until then, and then I heard tickets were all of a sudden going for $3,000, and then at the very end I'm sure some people were still wondering if this was actually going to happen, because it's been rumored for so long to be happening.
Well, I kind of knew it was happening. Well, nobody knew for sure. Let's put it this way. No one knew for sure if the coach was going to come or back out. But as far as his commitment to coming, I knew about that about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I've known it for a while and kept my mouth shut, as I should have, and let it play out because, again, he could have very easily said he could have been ailing. He may not have felt well. May not have been a good day for him. So there's all kinds of reasons that he could have not come. But the fact that he did, I think, was tremendous, obviously, and something that we're all happy about. I think every Indiana fan is happy about it. I think it's closure for a lot of people, certainly for the Indiana fan base that revered him, and without question for all of the former players who played for him.
And yeah, I know you just said you knew he was coming for 3 weeks, but did you know he was coming for that particular game on Saturday and against Purdue?
Yes, I knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean this has been an ongoing scenario. It's been an ongoing scenario for some time, and there was rumors, of course, when Ohio State came to Bloomington that he was going to come that day. And after that fell through, or that he did not come that particular day, I learned about 2 or 3 days after that this was the plan all along, at least from the standpoint of the Knight people that I was aware of and talked to. And they've been getting kind of trying to put this thing together for a long time, but there was never a guarantee that he was going to make it. And that's the only thing that kept it from me. Probably from being one of those things that they could announce,
yeah,
because they didn't want to announce it and then not have him be there.
Don Fisher, the legendary voice of the Hoosiers with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. All right, many of us have imagined what this day would have been like for 20 years. You had a great seat. You watched it happen. What was your reaction as it was actually happening?
Well, I just looked around the arena as Bob Knight was coming in, and of course, as you know, his health is not good. He's bent over. He doesn't look like the same man that we saw coaching at Indiana up until 2000. And even after that, of course, at Texas Tech, he's aged a lot here in the last few years. There's no question about it. And that to me is sad because he was such a brilliant man and such a brilliant mind in the sense of what he was able to do as a coach and all those kinds of things. And, of course, he was involved in multiple controversies over the years, as you guys know. Very controversial individual in many respects. One of those guys that kind of lived his way. I guess Frank Sinatra's song would be perfect for him. But that said, to see him come in as slow as he did, and I know he had a smile on his face a good portion of the time he was out on the floor with his former players and obviously reacted to the fan base and all those kinds of things, which was awesome. But it was a very emotional. I looked around the arena. I could see handkerchiefs and Kleenexes and tears flowing and the whole bit for a lot of the people that were there. And, of course, the side of the floor that I sit on, which is the west side of the floor, across from where television does its games from, I look behind me, and that's where most of the alumni, a lot of the older Indiana fans sit. And, I mean, there wasn't a dry eye on that side of the arena. It was very emotional for a lot of people.
Yeah. How do you think, in your observation of some of the students that are there now, and I'm sure they've heard stories from their parents and their grandparents over the years, but do you think they're cheering, obviously, but do you think they understand truly his legacy there?
I mean,
do you think the younger kids can appreciate his legacy there just by the stories I'm sure they've been told by their dads and granddads?
Well, I think Indiana kids, you know, people that are from the state of Indiana, I think all those youngsters and young people know about Bob Knight, know the legacy he's left. I'm not so sure that the out of state students really know that much about him. And I think the way the fan or the crowd reacted, because for a while it looked like the only people that were reacting were the ones on my side of the floor, the older generation people who saw the video as he was coming out of the floor and could tell that he was kind of making his entrance. and nobody really on the other side of the floor reacted too much to it. And, of course, that's where the student body sits, or a great deal of the student body sits in that corner that he came out in. But so I'm not real sure how many of the fans, I'm sure they've heard the name Bob Knight. If they're an Indiana student athlete or a student at all, they probably heard the name Bob Knight. I'm not sure they understood the legacy. Without question, they knew about the five national championships Indiana's won, but I would bet you there were a lot of them that had no idea that Bob Knight had three of those banners put up there.
Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers, with us talking about Bob Knight's return to Assembly Hall with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Don, many of our listeners remember the last time you graciously came on with us. It's been a couple years, by the way. It was before the season opener football game against Ohio State, and you came on. And just at the end of our conversation there, I asked you, because there were some rumors then 2 years ago that Bob's health was starting to fail, and I just innocently asked you, do you have any kind of relationship with him? Nobody's heard from him. And at that time, you said, no, you hadn't, and you were obviously disappointed about that, understandably so. Have you had a chance to kind of reunite with him a little bit?
I really haven't. The truth of the matter is they moved up here maybe about 5 months ago it might have been, when they finally made the move to Bloomington. He's been around a little bit. I have not been Larry Rink, who's the team doctor and one of his very good friends, and Bob Hamill, another one, as you know, Craig, who that is. Yeah. I'm former editor of the Bloomington Herald Times here in town. Obviously, those two guys are very close to Bob, and I just kind of stood back and waited for them to say, hey, coach would like to see you again, or whatever the case may be. That just hasn't happened. So I'm just kind of waiting and biding my time, so to speak, and I truly hope it happens soon, because I think, without question, and I say this in all sincerity, Bob Knight, very difficult guy to deal with many of the years that I dealt with him, but he always treated me with respect, especially at the end of his tenure there, because he knew that I'd been around there a long time. I was with him for 27 of his 29 years. So we had a relationship that was very professional. I think he had respect for me. I certainly had respect for him. But I will say this, I've always thought that as far as a basketball coach is concerned, there's never been a greater.
Are we losing?
Oops. I think his phone just,
you there, Don?
Just cut out.
Hang on, put him on.
See if we can get him right back here for just a second. Don Fisher, the legendary voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. Is he gone?
We'll get him back.
I think we lost his cell signal there. We'll get him back on and finish it up. But, yeah, obviously you heard Knight's 29 years. Don Fisher was there for 27 years together. Don's still there now, 47 years altogether as the play-by-play voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. And what a spectacle, what a great scene that was to have Bob Knight come back into Assembly Hall for the first time in 20 years over this past weekend. So I think we're going to get him back on. And yeah. Chris has got him dialed up here in just a second. As you're listening to Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Don, we lost you, but I think we got you back here. We'll wrap this up.
But, I apologize. It's probably me because I'm driving to Bloomington as we speak.
Oh, gotcha.
Hey, is there anything you could tell our listeners, a listening audience, one thing that maybe they don't know about Bob Knight that you do? A good memory.
Well, there's lots of good memories. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I revere most about Coach Knight, in the sense of just as a person, is the things and how he treated older people. He always revered people that were older than he was. I mean, guys that had been around the block, had done a lot of different things. He had tremendous amount of friends of probably 10 to 15-year older people than he was. And I loved the way he approached them. I loved the way he was respectful of them. I thought that was tremendous. His struggles with being a really strong, positive personality with people usually came with the media and the attitude that he had towards media people was not always the best. Like I said before, he was not the easiest guy to deal with in that vein. But he really revered older people. And I grew up in the age when that's exactly how you treated older people. You always treated them with respect. My parents taught me that these people have been around a lot longer than you. They know a lot more than you do. So you handle them with kid gloves when it comes to being respectful and treating them with kindness and so on. So I always revered that about Coach Knight.
Don, final question for me. Normally, a loss to Purdue would get a lot more headlines than this one has, but obviously the circumstances were different. My question to you is: Are we going to make the show? I mean, we look like we're a bubble team again for the NCAA tournament.
Well, we are a bubble team again. You're right. I mean, this basketball team right now is struggling. They've lost four in a row. There's no question they've lost to good teams, but. That said, it looked like the four that they lost to were all beatable at one point, and they certainly didn't get the job done. I hate to say this because I feel like it's kind of where we were last year with the start of a long losing streak of some kind, and the only way they're going to dig themselves out of this hole that they're in is that they start playing with more of an edge. To me, there's something missing here, and I don't know what it is. I think there's a leadership issue on this basketball team from a player standpoint. I think it's been an ongoing problem throughout the year, even though they got off to such a great start earlier in the campaign. But this team does not have really great outside shooters. They're struggling in that area. But the thing that they hung their hat on in the early going was their physicality and their rebounding ability. And that's gone away here in the last two or three ball games now, and that can't happen. This team can't survive and not rebound and be physical with other teams. That's just the way it's been all year long. They haven't gotten to the free throw line, and they have stopped rebounding like they were earlier in the season. If those two things don't come back and come back very soon here, this team is going to be in real trouble the rest of the year.
Tough when Purdue shoots 85% from threes against Iowa and Indiana. Oh, my God, everything they threw up the last couple of games went in amazing.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, Don, thank you as always. It is a pleasure. Thank you very much. Hopefully we can talk to you again about some games in the month of March. Yeah, like you said, hopefully they'll turn things around. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it very much. That is Don Fisher, the legendary radio play-by-play announcer for the Indiana Hoosiers.
And the thing to take away, in all seriousness, if you haven't seen Purdue play against Iowa recently and Indiana, I'm not sure a lot of teams would have beat them the last couple games.
Yeah,
they've been shooting out of their minds.
No doubt.
Especially from deep. Ridiculous. I think they've made 27 threes in two games.
Yeah, that's you're right. But again, I can't ever remember another time where Indiana lost to Purdue, and it was like the B Channel story. It was like with the things that happened. But you're right. At the end of the day, he said, "Look, it feels like last year when they started the slide again." And you got
Iowa and Garza coming in, the best player in the Big Ten, I think, coming in to you guys tomorrow or later this week, whatever. Should be a good game. Yeah.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Rick Astley. We have a texter named Rick Astley.
We do.
His actual name is Rick Astley Fan.
Thank you.
But I played this for you.
For me?
Yes.
Why?
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah.
You and Bobby Knight.
Oh. Well, yeah. It's a great moment. Close to Valentine's Day.
Good bromance.
Speaking of bromance and Valentine's Day.
Was he wearing the red sweater? The V-neck.
No, he was.
All of Bob Knight and all of the players that came back had a special little Indiana basketball zip-ups, all matching. It's delightful.
Adidas.
It's going to be a hot item.
No, that's a problem.
Why?
He needs to come out in the V-neck. Sorry.
Maybe he didn't want to.
Also,
it was a balmy day in Bloomington in February.
Also, I don't know what his circulation is like, if he has to wear certain clothes. I don't know. You don't know. He's not in good health. So
Wear another sweater.
I thought for everything, I thought he looked way better than I thought he would look when he came out there.
Yeah, got some texts. People really enjoyed that conversation, particularly people with ties to the Midwest. All right, so speaking of Valentine's Day and Manfest and all that kind of stuff, if you have an ex that you want to get back at Valentine's Day, I have something for you.
Oh,
Pete, you may want to pay attention to this.
No, I don't.
Why?
I told you
he's
the
got
best.
A couple X's.
The best,
that was a low shot.
The best. They're not around here anywhere close.
The best they can stream us on the 99.3 ESPN app. It's free.
Yeah.
Best revenge is living well, which I am.
You are. Roses are red, violets are blue. Honor your ex with a big bag of poo. All right, here's the explanation.
Lord.
Like Billy Madison style?
No. You can give your ex a crappy Valentine's Day by making a donation to the Jacksonville Humane Society. Here's the scoop. Make a donation to the Jacksonville Humane Society, and they will write your ex's name on a poop bag. They will then use the poop bag to scoop the poop from the animals in their shelter. Once you donate, they'll reply within 24 hours, send you a link and a form and all this, and then they'll write your ex's name on a bag of poop. They can't videotape all of them. They're expecting too much of a demand. But they can rest assured that dog poop will be picked up with a bag with your ex's name on it, all to raise money.
It's a great idea. It's terrible execution.
What's the terrible execution part?
The fact that they're not giving you the satisfiement?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Good grief. Satisfiement. That's not even a word.
I wasn't even close, Chris.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm just here to let you know that this was not executed properly. What should have been done is they should have filled said bag with animal dung.
And now you're
taking it to the ex's house.
Well, light it on fire and walk away.
Ring the doorbell, like light the bag on fire, and walk away. And you get that video. Valentine's Day present for everybody.
And what if she doesn't answer the door? He doesn't answer the door.
Then you light
it
on fire. And
the poo burns out.
Yeah, but
no big deal.
Well, if somebody answers the door,
not
and puts
a renewable
it out, that's
resource.
Not the person you're looking to, you know.
Yeah, even better. Even better. You write Stacy's name on the bag, right?
Why Stacy, Chris?
I don't know. I was just picking out a name. You write Stacy's name on the bag.
Stacy.
What happens when Stacy's new boyfriend goes to the door to answer it?
Yeah.
He just stepped on the bag of poo.
Right.
What if she has a little boy? What if it's Stacy's little boy or girl that goes out there and goes, "Mommy, mommy, there's a fire," and little Sally.
I don't recommend doing this if your ex has a kid.
Little Sally does it. 7 years old.
Yeah.
How do you feel then?
I mean, there's a lot of baggage that comes with these situations.
The baggage burns.
Yeah. Burn it. Get it out of your system.
I don't know. I think that it's a great idea on the surface, and they didn't follow through with it at all.
Send a picture, not necessarily a text, but an actual picture of you and your honey making out and throw it in a mailbox.
Here's a better idea, Animal Shelter of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Here's a much better idea. Submit a photo of your ex, and then they create puppy pads.
Yeah. Oh.
And now you've got the ability to have poop fall on your ex's face.
A lot of
forever.
People do that.
Wow.
I've heard of that. People do that.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Mm. Wow.
Dumpster fire, satisfiement, and people wonder why a Bama football player hasn't gotten a degree since the Eisenhower administration.
Good one. I like it.
Wow, Stacy clearly hurt Chris, says Drake.
I've never met a Stacy. I've never met a Stacy.
I disagree. I'm calling BS, actually, right now on live radio. That came to your mind so fast.
It was.
Yeah.
I just picked a name, Stacy. Yeah. I've never met a Stacy.
It's embedded in your subconscious. Don't deny.
Isn't there a song, Stacy's Mom?
Has got it going on. She's all I want, and I've waited for so long.
Yeah. Tag says Stacy's Mom has got it going on.
Yeah. Stacy, can't you see? You're just not
who
the girl for me.
This isn't Chris's wheelhouse. Hold on.
If it was Sandy, it could have been from Greece. Sandy.
Yeah.
Thought it was Jimmy Eat World, but I could be wrong on that. Jimmy Eat World!
Hey! Oh, nice and done. Nice.
Jimmy World.
No, Jimmy Eat World.
What's that?
The band that sings Stacy's Mom.
Oh. Yeah. Is that new?
No. Good God Almighty.
How does it go?
This segment was going swimmingly.
I probably would know it if I probably...
No, this is, I'm going to
guess, is this song?
Late 80s, early 90s?
No, that would be in my wheelhouse.
No, obviously not.
What are you talking about? That's my wheelhouse. This sounds like a one-hit wonder.
That's where everything
is. Is this a one-hit wonder?
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. I might have been wrong.
How can you have been wrong?
Fountains of Wayne.
Fountains of Wayne.
What year?
Yeah,
I don't know, like 2000?
Yeah.
99?
Oh, is it that recent? Yes, you've heard this.
Wow, not in a while.
Like, not ever. I'm calling BS on this. You're lying through your teeth. You've never heard this before.
I recognize the beat, but I don't recognize the lyrics. Listen. Stacy,
can I come over? Are we just going to listen to a song? The three of us? I mean, we got enough time.
Is this a one-hit wonder?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There were a lot of one-hit wonders back then. Why don't I have...
See, what do you mean you don't... Because your knowledge of pop culture and music...
cuts off about the time Chris was born in 1990.
But the one hit wonders, I have a plethora of 45s even back in the day from the 80s.
What are 45s, Pete?
Exactly. Great music video.
This? Really? Who plays Stacy's mom?
I don't know.
In the video. Hold on, here comes the riff.
This sounds very much like
Take it to the bridge! Take it to the bridge!
I have heard this. Okay.
Okay, so people are saying 2003. I don't know. I was kind of close, 2000-ish.
No, you said 1980s. Late, and then 2000s. You said, or Craig did. Craig said 19...
You're putting words in my mouth.
Craig said late 90s. Early 2000s.
This is ridiculous.
All right, 2003.
I said 2000, maybe 1999. I was three years early.
Chris is correct.
I was pretty close.
Pete has no idea.
Not the Jimmy Eat World part. That was wrong.
No. And this is officially the first time Pete's ever heard this song.
No, I'm going to tell you right now. I have heard it. I haven't heard it in a while, though. It might be 20 years since I've heard it, or 17 years.
Wow.
What would I hear it? No one's going to play one-hit wonders unless
again,
it's like a lost 45.
You stopped listening to the radio
but
in the 1990s.
When the last time you heard it? Unless it was like a lost 45s type show. Those shows switch radio stations every month.
I don't know. I don't know, but I've heard it plenty. I knew what song he was talking about.
Now that I hear lyrics.
Yeah, one-hit wonder.
Now that I hear the lyrics, I have heard it.
I don't believe it. Not a long time.
You're not selling me the performance.
You're re-singing it badly. It does not help me convince myself
that you knew what you're talking about.
Stacy's mom has got it going on. The woman who plays Stacy's mom was Rod Stewart's wife? Real wife?
Ex-wife. One of his ex-wives. Maybe he can send her a bag of poo to the Jacksonville Humane Society.
Just Rachel print her face out.
Oh, Rachel Hunter played Stacy.
Oh, Rachel Hunter. Okay, that was former, Rod. That was Rod Stewart's wife.
SI swimsuit model. Yeah, she was gorgeous.
I was right.
All right.
I was right.
Losers.
I don't know about that.
I think we've done enough here.
Well, I was right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was right. Just like I called the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year, I was right.
You know what was right?
Stop.
My LSU and Joaquin Phoenix. You can never ever top that. You can't top it. You can't.
I did it.
It's impossible. No, you can't. You cannot. There's not anything that you're going to do in the next 10 years that's ever going to top those two predictions. So far in advance, that it is astonishing even to someone like myself.
I say take Joaquin Phoenix's Oscar away. He can't act. He's nuts with his little speech talking about how we inseminate cows, steal the baby calves away.
Don't you get it?
And we put their milk on our cereal and our Cheerios.
Coffee.
He's nuts. He's crazy. So when he played a crazy man as the Joker, that's not acting. He was just playing himself. He's a horrible actor. The award is a scam.
That is the brilliance of JP. That's the brilliance of JP.
Fun fact.
Got you going.
I'm going to throw so much crap against the wall over the next 6 months.
That's not crap.
Something's going to hit. Something's going to hit.
Yeah. Something.
Because there's a lot out here as well that Pete's been wrong about.
No, yeah. But these were like phenomenal.
Fact.
All right. What about the time when you said the Bucks were going to win over 10.5 games this last year?
That means 11.
I was wrong. But
oh, get that on tape.
Hold on.
That's a drop.
I got more of these.
What about
the time you said D'Antoni will be fired before February of 2020?
Well,
that's still ongoing.
Before February. I still got a chance. The Celtics beat him tomorrow night. Look out, because they're all healthy.
Craig, the day after the Super Bowl, the 49ers will not make the playoffs next season.
That's a fact, and I still have time on my side on that one.
That's still very possible. It's happened many, many times.
What is this? Pete Shepard said at 3:29 on January 28th that Mekhi Flynn from San Diego State will be on the All-Final Four team.
Yes.
I don't even know if there is an All-Final Four team.
It's Malachi. Yeah, there is.
What did I say?
Malachi, whatever. It's Malachi.
I think I said Malachi.
Oh, Malachi Flynn.
And then Pete Shepard also said that the Gators will win the SEC East in 2020.
Yes.
All the way back on January 8th. Yep. We hadn't even crowned a champion.
Nope. Wow. That's on fire I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, tonight we got some college basketball. Florida State taking on Duke, that team that just crushed North Carolina. That's at Cameron Indoor Stadium where you won't hear too much of this.
You might
hear this chant in a mocking fashion with about 2 minutes to go.
Tarzan swinging from a vine again.
That's at 6:30 tonight on 99.3 ESPN.
Here's the thing. If three Florida State fans show up, that stadium is small enough where you can get your own chant going.
It's Sheeman, Shepard, and Stacy on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepard.
And What You Got is brought to you by good friends at Twin Peaks. Got some great food there. I'm feeling some barbecue wings tonight. And that 29-degree beer. Mm. Sounds fantastic. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. On this day in 1920, baseball outlaws all pitches involving tampering with the ball. No more spitballs, Pete Shepard, since 1920. Mm. Happy birthday, Mark Spitz, greatest Olympic swimmer. Well, since Michael Phelps. 9-time Olympic winner, Indiana University, I might add. Happy birthday, Greg Norman, 1955. In 1961, the AFL's...
Could never win the Masters, could you, Greg? He's
won the British Open twice.
The current generation's Greg Norman is Rory McIlroy. Great driver of the golf ball, never going to win at Augusta.
He always seemed...
Can't putt.
That, but it, one of his last shots always seemed to go in a divot. Like he'd always be hitting...
Bad luck?
Some bad luck. Hmm. Some his own, but still he had some bad luck along the way.
Happy birthday, Lexi Thompson. Good follow on Twitter, I might add.
Yeah.
Good follow anywhere.
She's good.
Yeah. That's all I got.
I gotta get back on track. I went 1-1 on Friday with my parlay.
That's not back on track. That's
0-8 over the weekend.
Who?
No, not. I lost three games by a point, or four games by a point over the weekend.
Woo!
I did hit a teaser, but very frustrated. Cincinnati yesterday.
You're
God
cheating
almighty.
With teasers.
Yeah.
I don't give out teasers, but I'm going to come back tonight. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy because I've been pretty hot. I've been hitting close to 80% on this show. I'm pretty hot. I know it sounds nuts, and you can make certainly a case to go the other way, but the line's down to 7.5. I'm taking Duke tonight.
You're so wrong on this.
Okay.
I can't believe you are taking the bait on this.
Oh, I'm not taking the bait.
You are taking the bait
taking
right
the
here.
Bait.
It is unbelievable
Duke,
that you're going to go with
pick.
A team coming off of an
Absolutely.
Overtime game, big rivalry game, and they're tired.
No.
Yeah. And then they're back at home now against a deeper team who just hung 100 points. You're insane.
But Chris, there are certain matchups for certain times, and I know Florida State had a buzzer beater loss against them last year, but they also lost, I think, by a pretty decent margin in the ACC tournament, if I remember. Duke is 40-10 lifetime against Florida State. Yes, those other 50 games don't mean diddly poo, but I'm going the opposite, that they are going to feed off the emotion of that North Carolina win.
All right, we'll open the
and
show
barely,
with
and
tomorrow.
Barely. I mean, look, I'm not saying they're going to win by 20. I think they are going to win by 8 or more. I think they
all
cover
right.
the 7.5.
Chris, what you got?
Florida State is the play here, plus mm-hmm. the 7.5 points. Duke is 2-5 against the spread in their last 5 against at Cameron Indoor. Mm-hmm. Florida State, the deeper team, the more consistent team on defense. They can't shoot the ball great, but I like Florida State going into Cameron. 7.5 points? Mm-hmm. Give me the 7.5.
You certainly can make a case
right.
for it. I don't
you can
deny.
Either go with Team Chris. You can go with
or
Team Pete Shepard.
Or you can go with Team 80% college picks. Pete.
Was higher. It's going down.
It's gone down a little
80%.
Bit.
80%. Why don't you give me a winner over the weekend? Then you can stake your flag in that hill.
Why don't you give me a winner?
I just did.
No, you didn't.
I just did.
I have a feeling we'll be opening the show at 2 o'clock with this argument tomorrow, and we'll see who wins between Duke and Florida State tonight. You can catch the game starting at 6:30 after
go
a half
Noles.
Hour of Spain and Company from ESPN.
Love
right
the tomahawk chop. Might be Will Cain.
I hope Florida State wins. I'm picking Duke minus 7.5.
Oh, Florida State on the money line. That's the play.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Draw your line in the sand. For Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Good night, Southwest Florida. Enjoy your evening. Talk to you tomorrow. And God bless America.